The reasons to treat yourself to a frozen drink from Mickey D's go on and on and on. It's more than a drink. It's a Mickey D's drink.
Your new flavor craze is here. From sweet and fruity frozen Fanta Wild Cherry to the classic cool of a frozen Coca-Cola to the tasty and tart frozen Fanta Blue Raspberry. Get any size for $1.59. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
I'd like to send a special shout out to this week's sponsor, Tropical Nights Restaurant and Lounge, located in Scarborough, 1154 Morningside Avenue. And guys, you already know they are the best rooftop patio in the six. When it comes to food, when it comes to drinks, when it comes to music, they have everything on lock and you will not be disappointed. I mean, the pepper shrimp. There's my reco. Try out the pepper shrimp. Try out the pina colada. They got the best rum punch, hands down, in the six. During the week, they even have bucket specials. So check it out. And just make sure that you are following the protocols in place. We're still under quarantine. So masks are required when using the facilities. And please make sure you are calling in ahead. Reservations are needed because it is super busy down there. So check it out. Best rooftop patio in the six. There's my reco as well. Hope to see you there soon. It's always a lime at Tropicals. Big up Nigel. Big up BB, Jeremy, Regan, Dave, and all the rest of the crew. Tropicals is the place to be in the six, baby.
You are now tuned in to the Body Hot Mix series. Mix, remixed, refixed, and all the good-ish. By Canada's heavy hitter, DJ Ghost Rider from the Judgment Day Sound Crew.
Rough Rider, Canada's official DJ.
When the rain hits my window, I take me some Indo. Me and Timberland, ooh, we sang a Django. We so tight that you get our style tango.
Ghost Rider.
Sway your do-si-do like you loco. Can we get kicky tonight like Coco? So-so, you wanna play with my yo-yo. Uh-huh. I smoke my hydro on the D-Lo. D-D-D-D-D-D-O.
I can't stand the rain. Kiss my window. I can't stand the rain.
What's up, what's up, y'all? It's your girl, La Chica, coming at you live and direct from the Six. On today's show, we'll be featuring one of Toronto's best-known club DJs out there, DJ Ghost Rider, everyone. I am pleased to welcome Sean Fernandez to our show today. Welcome, Sean.
Are we using government names now?
Oh, shit. Well, welcome, DJ Ghost Rider.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Now, first off, I'd like to say thank you for being a guest on my show. And I'm very excited for our listeners to get to know more about you and your exciting career so far.
Okay.
All right.
From the West End of Toronto, which is Mississauga.
Okay.
Been DJing since I was 16.
Okay.
39 now, kind of getting up there in age.
Okay.
We're still young.
We still got lots of life left in us. We're still doing our thing. So age is just a number, my friend.
I hear you.
All
but,
right.
Part of the Judgment Day Sound Crew.
Okay.
Shout outs going out to Shades. Shout outs to Knowledge, M3 Richie. And previous members, Tech Reloaded. We've been out here for a hot minute, you know, be doing our thing in the Toronto scene and the US scene and parts of the world. That's pretty much that.
Super. Now, how did you actually get into the DJ world?
It's funny. I met up with a guy. His name was DJ Niceness back in my starting stages. Didn't know shit about DJing.
Okay.
We used to play basketball down at Cawthorne.
Okay. Repping Saga hard there.
Yeah. And, you know, he came with his little boombox, playing his mixtapes and whatnot. And I was kind of liking his mixes and blends and whatnot he did on his hip-hop mixtapes.
Okay.
So, you know, started questioning it and whatnot. And then, you know, two things. Started hanging out with him. He invited me over, mess around with his turntables, trying to learn the equipment, trying to play 1-2 records here and there. And then, yeah, pretty much from there on, I just kind of got the hang of it and tried to see where to go.
And as they say, folks, the rest is history. All right.
Yeah, practically.
Now, your name, DJ Ghostwriter, what inspired you for this name?
I had a few names before that.
Okay.
Which is pretty crappy. Well, actually, technically just one. I used to call myself DJ Intellect.
Okay.
Because I was all in my books.
Okay.
So, you know, a little smarty pants. Called myself Intellect. Didn't really go anywhere.
Okay. Never heard that one before.
Yeah,
to be honest
never,
with you. No.
Never. But I started off as a reggae DJ. And there is a crew, a reggae sound in Canada called Military Sound.
Okay.
Right? Big up Alan Ladd. They used to be a DJ on Military back in the 90s called Junior Rider.
Okay.
Okay. So because I used to play a lot of reggae parties starting out, I used to play a lot of after hours back in the days. And Military used to be a big part of the after hour scene. I used to open up because, you know, I knew the bar owner. He let me come do warm-ups and whatnot so I could get my practice on and, you know, so on and so forth.
Right.
Before the big guys came on. And Junior Rider was part of Military at that time, basically gave me my name because I sounded like a real reggae dancehall DJ.
Okay.
Right? He basically gave me the name because I sounded just like the way he would play. Just a rider. Right? So because I had the same feel and vibe that he carried when he played Military, mm-hmm. He gave me the name Rider because, I mean, he was Junior Rider.
Right.
So I just kept on just Rider for, like, just introducing myself into the scene. Until the movie Ghost Rider came out.
Okay.
And that's when I changed my name officially from Rider to Ghost Rider.
Okay.
Just because of the movie. I liked it.
Okay.
And it kind of just stayed and everybody started calling me, going from calling me Rider to now Ghost.
Okay.
So Ghost kept on and I kind of kept. I still have the name Ghost Rider. People still call me Ghost. They call me Ghost Rider. They call me Rider. But yeah, it's all affiliated.
That's interesting how you started off playing reggae because from the years that I've seen you spin, it's mostly hip hop, which I freaking love because not a lot of the DJs tend to play this type of hip hop, the more underground stuff that's not obviously mainstream.
Yeah.
How did that evolve? How did you get into more of the R&B, more of the hip-hop side of things?
So, first of all, the reason why I jumped into reggae first is because I didn't have a lot of money to buy various styles of music.
Vinyl was not cheap.
It was not cheap.
No.
It was not cheap. I mean, you could buy a single for like $13.99 a tracks. Sometimes it was like, if it was like a hot record, it would be like $20.
Oh,
albums were like $30 to $40. And plus, being a DJ, you got to have doubles of everything.
Right.
So you're not just buying 13, you're buying two of them now.
Right.
But reggae was cheap. It was $4 for a 45. And it was, and the best way to learn how to mix music as a DJ is learning how to mix reggae because the rhythms are similar.
Right.
and you're not really transitioning from a lot of rhythms at one shot. You just, you know, you play like five songs off the same rhythm and then you switch to rhythm. So as long as I got my beat mixing on point, I just stuck to reggae. So I introduced myself as a reggae DJ back in 97, playing all ages parties and house parties and whatnot.
Oh, wow. Okay.
The good days.
Yeah.
And then the reason how, I mean, the way I got into playing hip hop and R&B and everything else was that I wasn't making enough money just playing reggae. Like back then, like when I started, I was making like $50 a gig.
Wow.
Like playing like big nightclubs. I was like all ages. I was playing for like places like Elbow Room and Abyss.
I used to go there. First of all, guys, if you did not know these clubs, you are not in the know. Like Friday night at Abyss, Saturday night at Elbow Room, you don't know. It was the party scene. And Club 108. You missed another
Club 108. Yep, yep.
Like, were the places in the West End that were bumping back in the day.
Yep. So I paid my dues for like the first two to three years playing for like $50 gigs, $100 gigs.
Wow.
Just to get my name out. Big shout outs to Uncle B that put me on the thing. Uncle B Entertainment. My first DJ that I ever played with was Soca Monarchs.
Okay.
Like, you know, in the all ages scene, that's when they were huge in all ages scene. Them, Ill Kids, guys like that. Reddy Fox, you know, King Turbo, blah, blah, blah. But so basically I jumped into hip hop and R&B because I was like, you know what? I can't stick to one genre because not everybody wants only a reggae DJ. They want someone that plays a little bit of everything.
Right.
So I was at that time transitioning from vinyl to CDs.
Okay.
And I'm talking about like, I never started collecting hip hop and R&B till 98.
Okay. Yeah.
98, roughly 99. So a couple of vinyls, like I probably put together maybe like four crates of vinyl when it came to like hip hop and R&B. Which is nothing compared to what you're supposed to have.
Wow.
Right? But I'm just starting. I'm still starting out. I'm still getting out of I'm just turning 18 now.
Right.
Right. 98. I'm just turning 18. I'm still pretty decent with the hip hop. I mean, the all ages scene.
Mm-hmm.
So 19, I want to jump into 19 over. I want to start playing the real clubs.
Right.
So I started preparing myself. So I started transitioning to CDs, and then CDs was basically MP3s you would download.
Right.
So
Big up Napster. Big up LimeWire.
Had all of that. Had the bad quality. Had you name it, I had it.
Woo.
You know? I started building the collection. And then that's pretty much how I got into it. I wasn't really getting a lot of big gigs yet.
Okay.
But I was still building up the collection and, you know, waiting for it for it to happen.
Okay. And typically, selection process.
I don't select. I don't pre-select.
Okay.
I just go in blindly. I read the crowd and I play.
Wow, but you're like, always mixing. I feel,
the thing about me is, you show up late, you're not gonna know what's being played.
Right.
A lot of these DJs coming up right now feel that because you know there's 50 DJs on the bill.
Yep.
We need to show up when they expect us to show up to play.
Yep.
Not knowing what's been played.
Nope.
I don't care if you just started out or you've been in the scene for a hot minute. You know, you still got to come out early. You still got to take in what's been played so you don't play bad music. You know, and I still do that till today. Like, I mean, I won't show up like at 9:30, 10 o'clock unless I'm the only DJ in the base. But if there's like a list of DJs on the bill, I'll show up like 11. You know, I don't care about the warm-up. I'll still bust the next warm-up. I feel no ways. I still won't play back. So I don't pre-select. I never do. I've never done it. So I don't think I would start now. Unless it was like a serious party, like, you know, like a themed party where, you know, it's strictly like old school. Then I got my old school crate. I'll just juggle right through it.
Right.
You know, stuff like that.
Yeah. Because most DJs usually have an idea of what they're going to play, start organizing their sets, get it going in Serato and all that good stuff. So.
Yeah, see, the thing with that is that Yeah, that's good and all to pre-select your, mm-hmm. your crates, your sets before you go play.
Right.
But then what happens if you got a DJ that thinks he knows it all and comes and busts the top 40 at like 12:30 at night, and then you're playing right after him, like say 1:30, and that's almost prime time.
Yeah.
What are you going to do, play the same set all over again?
Nope.
Right? Even though there's probably like 20 people. Yeah, people do that.
Yeah.
But I'm saying like, that's not me. I wouldn't want to play back somebody's set.
Right.
And there's way too much music in the box to even think of that. A lot of these DJs don't get that. Like they think just a top 40 is going to make it.
Right.
There's way too much music, man.
And, you know, I like the way that you think because you definitely do not play the typical tracks. You'll bust out things that I'm like, yo, did he just seriously play that? And the crowd is bumping. Everyone's jamming. I'm like, all right, I dig it. This is awesome. Because a lot of guys do typically play the top 40s and they actually feel no ways repeating what three other DJs just played.
Exactly. That's not
me. We hear it as the, you know, club goer or consumer. We hear, okay, yo, they've already played this like twice. What's going on here tonight?
Yeah.
So, okay. Very good. Now, what's your favorite 90s jam and why?
That's way too much to ask. That's way too much. You can't All right. ask me a question like that.
Hey now. Just trying to, you know, get
I have
idea.
Like over 500 selections.
Okay. Throw in a couple names then.
I don't care what anyone says about R. Kelly's track still bump.
Burn it up. Burn it up. Will forever be one of my jams in going down in history with him, man. Like, that's all I got to say about that.
I love my Woo. I love my Mobb Deep.
Yep. Big up.
You know, this is way too much to list.
Okay.
This is way too much, but. I'm a straight old school dude. Like, I'll bust old school any time of the night. It's a bumping party.
Yeah.
I don't have to wait towards the end of the night. I don't got to wait to do it, like, midway or at the beginning. I'll take you at, like, 3 o'clock. I'll take you at, like, 1 o'clock. Shit, I'll take you at 10 o'clock opening warm-up set. It is what it is, you know? That's just the way that music's set. It hits different.
Right. And, I mean, if you look at it back in the day, you called out clubs like Elbow Room and Abyss and whatnot. Yo, these tracks were bumping any hour of the night. Mixed in with some dance hall, mixed in with some reggae, a little bit of dance music. That was your night.
Yep, pretty much.
So, all right. Now, another tough question, seeing as the other one was a tough question.
Yeah.
Couple of your favorite artists and why?
I fell in love with hip hop with Biggie.
Okay.
Because he basically spoke the truth.
Yeah.
You know, Pac spoke the truth.
Yep.
Dre was just an awesome producer.
Yep.
Followed by Snoop.
Yep.
It's, you know, just like West Coast, East Coast. Was like on point back in the 90s, you know. I mean, right now, it's all about trap music.
It is.
You know, I don't think there's real hip hop anymore. Right. Even that New York hip hop is turning to Atlanta.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, everything is trap. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love trap. I've been bumping traps even before it got hot in Canada.
Right.
Because I used to play in the States a lot. So that's how I learned my trap. I didn't learn it from Canada. I didn't learn it from DJs playing it out here.
Right.
Right. I was playing probably more underground trap than commercial trap before it even hit Canada.
Right.
And I was playing it in Canada and people were just looking at me just blank.
I believe it.
Right.
But
I mean, yeah, man, I'm down with my old school hip hop artists all day. KRS-One.
Yeah.
You name it. Till today I'm bumping all that.
But I mean, back about 15 years ago, trap music was on Hot 97 in New York.
Yep.
So it was always there all over the States,
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't here in Canada. You wouldn't hear it at a club. Like that, you'd just be like, what exactly is this mix-up?
Yeah.
So
it's true.
But now that's the music of today.
Yeah, pretty much. Like I don't think I even heard a decent hip hop record in a minute. It's all New York artists are bussing trap. So it's rare. I think Pop Smoke was probably the only one that came out recently that, you know, ripped Pop Smoke, but he was probably the only one that came out with a decent hip hop album in probably 2 decades.
Wow.
Yeah.
In a minute, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Now, in your career, you've played tons of amazing events, from boat cruises, clubs, all sorts of different things, and the list goes on and on and on. What are typically your favorite events and why?
I like boat cruises. They're fun.
Yep.
You know, unfortunately, we live in a country where it's seasonal.
Right.
But I don't really have specific. Actually, no, I lied. I do have specific events. For example, my birthday party.
Yes. Yeah. Tell us about that.
Yeah, Sagittarius status. It's been going on since 2005.
Okay.
So it's been out there for a hot minute.
Wow.
I mean, it started off really small because I used to do, I was a resident DJ at Government Nightclub on Fresh Fridays for like 4+5 years.
Okay.
And I used to control the small room. It was called the Deluxe Lounge. I don't know if you remember
that. Oh, yes, I do.
So that used to be Deluxe Lounge on a Fresh Friday night. Used to be the reggae soca room.
Yeah.
Of the urban night.
Yeah.
The main room, which had Baby U, had like all the hip hop, R&B, reggae, top 40, stuff like that.
In the orange room, yes.
No. I'm talking about Fridays.
Oh, okay. So I never used to go on
Fridays.
Fridays,
orange room had a separate booking.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was like different parties on a Friday. Orange room. But and the main room was like the urban night. And then part of the urban night in the deluxe lounge, which was a small lounge, was Judgment Day Sound Crew with myself and Tech Reloaded.
Okay.
And Lindo P.
Wow.
And we would play soca reggae with a little bit of hip hop, but not too much. More hip hop, more soca and reggae.
Right.
And big shout outs to Mass Appeal Entertainment because they're the ones that brought us in there.
Okay.
So that's where I originally started Sagittarius Status.
Wow.
So that little small room grew into something real special. And then once we finished with Government on Fridays and moved on to different things, I just basically started doing the event everywhere I used to run a Friday in the city. So I've done Saturday Status at 7 Lounge when I used to do last year on Flow 93.5.
Oh, wow.
I did Saturday Status at Vince Carter's Club, the Inside Lounge.
I remember that place, yeah.
I've done it at Fluid Lounge. I've done it
that
at
place too, yeah.
At Orchid.
Remember that place too.
Embassy, you name it. It's been done. Throne Nightclub, Club 108.
Wow.
It's been done.
Okay.
And just recently, the last 2 years, I've done at Cliffs of Hut, which is a different vibe because I'd never do it in the West End.
Okay.
And since you know we're doing Fresh Fridays in Clips of Hut every Friday, we said,
right,
we'll do it there. Why not? The space is there. It's decent. And plus, I'm from the West End, so, you know.
That's it.
Make it easier for the people. And it's been sold out.
Interesting. And I mean,
yeah.
You started off with just, you know, the regular clubs like, you know, Abyss. They're typically everybody type clubs. Nicest way to say it. But lately, you've been doing a lot of the West Indian parties. How did you get into all that?
You can blame Sweet Flavor Entertainment for that.
Okay.
That's Judgment Day's manager.
Okay.
So, I mean, Brian's Trini.
Okay.
And I think he's Trini and Guyanese.
Okay.
Yeah. So, he's been promoting West Indian clubs for as long as I've known him.
Okay.
From like Connections to all the Calypso Huts, the Shepherd Stations, you name it. I mean, don't get me wrong. We've been doing urban stuff downtown too, but he always has love for the West Indian crowd.
Right.
Clientele. So because he wanted to still keep it, I said, okay, cool. You know, let's do everything else and also cater to the Western clientele.
Right.
So after taking a break from downtown, because, I mean, all the condos were coming up, clubs were getting shut down. So we said, okay, well, let's look into some venues in our own area. Because he's from Rexdale, I'm from Saga, so let's find something in between. And that ended up being Brampton.
Okay.
And, you know, spoke to Jerry, made it happen, and, you know, we kind of did our thing. But, I mean, we've done parties everywhere else, too, like West Indian parties. But we've never, ever done a weekly West Indian party.
Right.
Until we came to Clipsalat.
Okay.
We always did a lot of one-offs, theme parties, etc. But, Clipsalat was like our first weekly. And it did pretty decent, I would say. We've been there for 2 years now, 2.5 years. So, it's been pretty good.
Yeah. Well, the unfortunate thing after hearing this, I mean, I never grew up in the whole West Indian community. I mean, my clubs were government, comfort zone, dogs, orchids, inside, lot 332, Minaj. Like, I did everything but the West Indian scene. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I've never experienced your Sagittarius party. So fingers crossed that COVID's finally under wraps. It will be my first experience ever.
Well, this year, if COVID's on the wrap, Sagittarius is going to be in Vegas.
Whoa. Yeah. You're just saying, you know what? We've been locked down too freaking long. Let's go big or go home.
Yeah, it's my 40th. So.
Okay.
It's going to be big.
1,000%.
Hopefully we can fly into the States them time.
That still is a mystery. We don't know. I mean, taking it one day at a time. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? Now, you said that you've mentioned that you played all over North America here in the States. Where do you love playing the most and why?
New York.
All right.
Hometown.
So you're from New York. Because,
No. Well, I've lived there.
Okay.
But I'm not from. Lived there.
Okay.
For 7 years.
That's a pretty considerable amount of
before time. Before 9/11.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. I love playing out there because they're open to music. They're not. Like any age group or age bracket knows all the age brackets. You know, they like I could come in there, play for a young 20 plus crowd that just started clubbing because, you know, it's 21 plus to club out there. And they would know the anthems from like barbecue.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. They would know anthems that you would play at a barbecue. Mm-hmm. And you can actually get forwards off of that. Like slapping the walls kind of forward. It's not like, you know what I mean? Like a pull up, like a money pull up.
Like a back in the day pull up.
Yeah. So I can be myself out in New York.
Okay.
I don't got to stick to a certain routine that I would have to do if I go to like Atlanta. Atlanta, you can get away with it a little bit. Not too much, but a little bit.
Okay.
Because they love their trap. They love their south.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you go to Miami, you can't do that. You got to play south.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You go to... Texas, you can only play south. You know, it's hard in certain states.
Right.
But like New York, I can pretty much do whatever I want anytime I want of the night and still get the same crowd reaction I would get from a warm up to an ending of the night.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So yeah, I would have to say New York.
And I mean, definitely. With New York, definitely it's a vibe there. I find that it's a very different party scene than we have here. Here, I find it's so much more laid back. The party doesn't even get pumped, like banging until like 1 o'clock. Down there, by like 11, rammed, packed, bumping. Yep. It's like, is this really happening this early?
People actually know how to party out there.
They do.
Pretty much every part of the state. It doesn't have to be just New York, but I'm saying the party scene overall in the States is totally different.
Yep. I'm telling you that 1,000% as well, because That's after partying in all the best clubs, the whole entertainment district for like, you know, my entire life, your entire life working in the entertainment in the entertainment district, it's hard to be just in mediocre, blasé type events. Exactly. You want the excitement, the fun, and the States, they will deliver. That's for sure. Yeah. So, all right. Now, some songs, when you first hear it, you already know this track is a banger. Like, let's say Tupac's Hit Him Up, for example. What are the characteristics that a track needs to have to be groundbreaking music?
Definitely beat's key.
Yep.
The hook's definitely the second key. You can't have a dope beat and a shitty hook. It's not going to work.
Right.
Those two together, you could have the rest of the track sound like trash. But as long as you got those two locked, like 1,000%, the track's fire. Okay. You could say gibberish the rest of the track.
Right. Nonsense.
Which 90% of the tracks are. Yeah. But the hook and the beat, that's all it takes.
Okay.
Yeah. That to me, in this day and age, is a banger. Yeah. Back in the days, you would actually get a full track that's a banger.
Yeah. Right?
But now, I mean, you take what you can get.
Ouch.
You know? You pretty much take what you can get. I mean, it's not that bad, but I'm just saying, like, the newer artists now, it's like you can take whatever you get as long as the beat and the hook's on point.
Right.
Right?
Okay.
Because that's all people are going to remember at the end of the night is the beat and the hook. They don't care. They probably don't even understand the first two lines of the verse.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, beat and hook, man. That's what it is right now.
Y'all heard it first. Beat and hook is where it's at, man. Yep. All right. Now, all careers come with their own fair share of, like, challenges, struggles. What are the typical struggles that DJs face?
That's a big one.
In general.
Well, I mean, there's a lot. It's like my main thing is, well, I understand with the change in time and whatnot, DJs became promoters.
Yes. About 10 right? years now. Yeah.
Technically, I'm one of them.
Yep.
Because back then, I mean, I get it. When you start out, you got to put in your work.
Right.
You got to help the promoter flyer. You got to, you know, because I was in high school. So, you know, you got to hand the high school kids all the flyers for the party this Friday or Saturday, the all ages club, you know, Biz, right. Elbow Room, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But then you have to, at one point, have to separate yourself from being that promoter so you can concentrate on the music.
Right.
But then the issue turned out to be when you started concentrating on the music, and let the promoter do his job, then he blames you that there's no people at the party. You hear what I'm saying?
Right.
So because you concentrated on the music and you didn't really follow through 100% with helping promote the party, so now it's all up to really the promoter and you being the DJ, and then the party flops and there's no pay.
Ouch.
It's because the promoter said that the DJ didn't bring the people. When technically you're just there to play music.
But isn't that their job, though, to bring the people, exactly. hence being a promoter?
Exactly. But back then, that's what it was. You know, we used to get the runarounds with the pay, and, you know, there's like only 50 people here, and this is the expenses, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I've been through it all.
Right.
That's why, like, after Government Nightclub, when I did the 5-year residency, I said, me and Brian, we just said to ourselves, we're like, yo, let's just do our own thing. Because it makes no sense that we're playing all these venues, the place is packed, and we're still getting shortcut on the pay. Right? Wow. So at least if we do our own parties and we fail, it's on us.
Right.
We got nobody else to blame. Right? So that's what we ended up doing. We took a small venue like Flirt Lounge. I don't know if you ever heard of it. It was in Adelaide.
Yeah.
Adelaide and Duncan. Small little hole in the wall club, but it did the job.
It was a very, very tiny club.
Yeah. It was two levels. And it was perfect because we started up a Saturday night there called Smash Saturdays.
Okay.
And it was Judgment Day and Fully Loaded, two DJs. And we ran the shit out of it. We did our own street team work.
Mm-hmm.
Brian was crazy on the promo. And we just smashed every Saturday. And we made our own money. Like, we didn't depend on a club hiring us or a promoter hiring us. And then the money we saw in return was stupid. It was stupid, crazy money. Like, promoters don't even see that right now. DJs don't even see the money that we saw. Or we still see till today because we're doing our own thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Wow. So, yeah, like that was the main thing was, you know, trying to separate the DJ from the promoter back then. It's still the issue now because every promoter now wants you to push the shit out of a party.
That's exactly
I mean, they don't specifically want you to hand out flyers because, I mean, you get tickets now to hand out flyers.
Right.
You got to be real scarce about it.
Right.
And, you know, flyers, I don't feel do what they used to do.
No.
Right. So it's all about social media promo, your Instagram, your Facebook, your Twitter, your Snapchat, your TikTok now, whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I feel that, you know, I mean, I don't have a problem pushing parties. Like, I've never said no to a promoter that's hard.
Right.
But it's funny, though, because when I hire DJs, I always get the runaround.
Oh, wow. Okay.
The runaround to push the event I just booked you for.
Right.
It's like pulling teeth.
Oh, you know?
But me, I mean, to me, it's like, hey, any promo is good promo.
Right.
If I don't push it and he pushes it, at least at the end of the day, he can't tell me that, hey, I didn't bring nobody or I didn't promote. You know, as they say, you didn't promo, so you shouldn't get paid. Right.
Oh, so, wow.
Yeah. That's still going on.
But I mean, back in the day, if you did not have those flyers, you had no damn clue what events were coming up. Like,
right, because there was no social media.
No social media.
Exactly. That was social media.
That was our social media.
Exactly.
Wow. Interesting. And I mean, I still have a box from the 90s that I kept and the 2000s. Mm-hmm. Just random flyers from everything. From Fluid, from Wet Bar, from Level. Well, I was an entertainment district queen back in those days. So, I mean, that was my thing. So I'm going to take a look through and see, like, Judgment Day and Ghost Rider and all that good stuff.
Yep.
You guys are definitely on these flyers. So
for sure.
Interesting. What a trip down memory lane. Awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Now, all careers, again, there's always room for improvements. You know, whether you're an artist taking vocal lessons, what would be something that DJs can work on improving, aside from the promoting aspect of things? To make them from being a regular DJ to a, damn, that man's fire, yo.
It's innovation.
Okay.
You have to, like, you can't be simple anymore. Just the regular mixing from one record to the other doesn't really cut. I mean, it cuts when you're practicing.
Right.
You know, but people want to see, you know, what they do right now with the whole Red Bull freestyle, you know, all that kind of stuff. Like, you know, what DJ Puffy does, you know, like that kind of style is what gets the crowd going.
Right.
You know, a lot of DJs can pull it off. A lot of DJs can't pull it off.
Right.
You got to be really dedicated to learn that kind of shit.
Okay.
You know, like me personally, I love remixing. So you always catch me remixing some shit on the fly.
I've noticed that.
Right. So I'm never really going to play, like, I'm not crazy with the scratching. I don't do like that turntablism stuff. I wish I did.
Right.
I'll probably take my shit to another level. But
yeah,
I mean, yeah, I'm pretty basic, but I still kind of like make it interesting in the crowd with the remixes. Like, I know remixes is not new either. It's still old. Scratch has been doing it for generations, you know, so it's like, but to me, it's like, I'm not copying what other people are doing. I'm doing my own thing, my own style of remixing.
Okay.
I'm not listening to what somebody else remixes and play it like next week and do the same routine. You know, like, that's the last thing you would ever see me do is try and copy somebody else. But I've seen everybody else copy me. I've seen few DJs over the years copy word for word sets.
Come on.
It's like they recorded me and are now playing me back. Yeah, I've seen it way too many times.
Flattery?
Whatever it is.
That's really weird. Not even going to lie.
That is weird.
That's weird.
You know, yeah. I've seen it way too many times. And even when they try to do it, it's like, fuck up. But like, why would you try to do something you can't physically do?
Right.
At least practice, you know? I mean, it's great that you're trying to do something with it. Don't get me wrong. But don't come out sounding half-assed. I think for me, I want to get into the whole Red Bull freestyle kind of stuff. But at the same time, it's like, that's basically what everyone else is doing right now anyways. Like DJ Kevin is doing that.
He's and doing a crazy good job with
there's,
it.
There's Brandon Duke. He's a young cat.
Yeah.
He's crazy.
Yeah.
He's super crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
but I don't know. Like at my age right now, I don't have the time and capacity to even try and attempt to do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not saying I want to keep it basic. I'm still doing what I'm doing. I'm still hyping a crowd. I still get a crowd going on what I do because that's just what I do.
Right.
But it'd be nice to try and do that style as well. You know, even if I can get like a 5% of it in my set. Great. Yeah. You know, which I think I have right now.
Okay.
But to do even like a 25% of it is good. That's what Kevin does, DJ Kevin.
Yeah.
I've been watching that cat for a few years now, and he's crazy with it. You
Listen,
know what I mean? I rate that guy.
I'm telling you as is, and I mean, I even told him recently that when I seen him play on this massive stage in Florida, not even going to lie to you, I was completely shook. Because I was not expecting to see any Toronto DJ on that stage.
Right.
And he came out and tore it up. Like, literally freaking tore. I'm like, yes, represented T-Dot in the six and all this good stuff. And it was like one of my cousin's events. And they're like, well, yeah, because he's blowing it up everywhere. Everyone is watching him big time because he has that innovation. And he's doing things that, I'm sorry to say it as is, I haven't seen that in a long freaking time, man. Like, there's not a lot of guys who pull off that kind of style.
Yeah. It's hard. Like, usually those sets are pre-planned.
Yeah.
Those sets are pre-planned. Like, you can't even, like, go on with a 45-minute set doing that all night.
Right.
You can't.
No.
It's impossible to stick and do stuff on the fly, which is what he does. He does stuff on the fly.
Yes.
Which I rate.
Yes.
And that's how it's supposed to be done, is on the fly. Not pre-plan your shit, come to the club, and then perform it.
No,
that's,
he's not
that's,
doing
that's
that.
That's what demos are for YouTube.
Right.
But he actually comes in, does the shit on the fly, live, without thinking twice, just off the top of his head.
He says it as is, that he will stand there, observe, A, the audience, and B, he's observing what tracks were played. I'm like, dude, how do you remember all of this?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
And then go up there and just rip it. I already done forgot everything.
But in order to do that, you have to know your music inside out.
Yeah, and he
does. All your genres. Yeah, he does.
That's the most impressive thing.
Yeah.
And I said it as is. I'm like, you know, you're so young. And for you to know these tracks, I mean, this is what I grew up in the 90s and 2000s when, as it is, you weren't born yet.
Yeah.
So the fact that you know this music so intricately, dude, it's freaking impressive beyond impressive.
Yep. Facts.
So shout out DJ Kevin.
Yeah.
So shout out. Big up. All right. Do you think it's beneficial, on that same tip, you know, talking about DJ Kevin, how he knows the music from the past, do you think it's beneficial for other DJs to master their craft, to know music more in depth, more about reggae, even though they don't listen to reggae or they don't listen to hip hop, heck, they don't even listen to dance music. But is it to their benefit to know these genres, at least have an idea of them, to master their craft?
It's good to have that background.
Okay.
I personally feel.
Okay.
Even though you don't specialize in, say, classic house.
Right.
But at least try and keep maybe like a set of two in your laptop.
Right.
You know, learn that subtlety, because you never know when you're never going to need
it. Right.
Right. Because you can't say that you don't play it, especially in this day and age where everything is accessible, sometimes even free. Sometimes you're part of a record pool where you're paying a monthly fee.
Of course.
But you still have to keep that top 50, top 100, you know. I personally feel that it's always going to help you down the line.
Of course.
Even if you never use it, at least you have knowledge of it. So if you are around DJs that actually do play it,
right,
you can join in the conversation. You know what I mean? You can network that way. Maybe you might not get a classic house gig, but you might get a hip-hop gig if that's what you specialize in. You know? Just by networking and knowing the background, it will get you places.
No, 1,000%.
So, yeah, definitely know your history, know your genres. Like, I don't play rock and roll, but I have a top 100.
Seriously? And
I have a top 100. Like, I will bust a rock and roll set at Hut if I need to. If I was asked to play Hut, if I was asked to play Chutney, I have a top 100.
Of Chutney?
And I don't even like playing Chutney, but I have a top 100. Shout outs to Tricky. Shout outs to Lost Soul, Jerome. Shout out to a lot of DJs that hooked me up over the years.
Wow. And, you know, when you said classic house, I mean, when I think of classic house, I think of Tricky. That is his ultimate genre from history.
Sure.
So,
yep.
But I'm surprised you said that. Chutney and rock and roll, I mean, that's, for me, like, you're throwing balls out of, like, left field here.
Yeah. Like, if, like I said, I don't specialize in it, but worst comes to worst and I need to show off myself.
Yeah.
It's there.
Okay.
You know? I might even have a 1-2 chutney dub. I don't know. Just saying. Just putting it out there, you know?
Okay. Hey. Well, hey, you got to know music. And I mean, guys, if you can learn anything from this conversation, that is one takeaway right there. You got to know your music to get in this game. So it's good that you said that. Absolutely. All of this encompasses tons of unique skills that you have over the years, you've developed, really mastered. What do you think are these unique skills that has helped you become such an amazing DJ?
I don't know. I just thought I was just amazing on my own. I don't know. It's just you gotta stay in the network of things.
Okay.
You know, the key to this business is networking.
Okay.
Obviously, right now, social media presence is like the main thing.
Like, 1,000%.
You know, even though you don't get booked a lot, you still got to keep your social media presence at like 1,000.
Yep.
You know, it doesn't have to be flyers. Like, DJs take a picture in their backyard and have a saying to it. You know, and that's all it takes to get your name out further, because now you got all these people liking your pictures.
Yeah.
And, you know, later on you want to post your SoundCloud mix. And now those same people that liked your picture last week are like, oh, let's go check out DJ so-and-so's SoundCloud mix. He just dropped one. And, you know, it might be good. It might be shit. We don't know.
Yeah.
But at least you're networking, and people that didn't know you last week know you now, either as a good DJ or a shit DJ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it all depends on you.
Right.
Which one you want to be. And yeah, it's really, networking is key.
Okay. That's...
in this business. Nothing else. Like, you could be I've seen the worst DJs with the best networking skills. And okay. It's gotten them so far.
Wow. Really?
It's gotten them real far. Yeah.
Even though they're not the greatest mix at mixing, blending.
Yep. Yep.
Track selection, yep. The most important elements.
Yep. I've seen it.
Okay. All right.
I've seen it. Yep. Way too many times.
Okay.
Yep.
Now, after doing so many events over the years, I mean, a residency at Gov for so long, you've done endless, hundreds and thousands of events.
Mm-hmm.
What keeps you motivated in the industry?
Honestly, once I catch a vibe, that's all it really takes. You know, if I don't have a vibe, I'm not motivated. Like, I'll vibe to like 10 people in the club.
Okay.
You know what I mean? As long as they're having fun, I'm having fun.
Right.
And that's really what keeps me going, is the clientele. You know, it could be, like I said, 5 to 10 people or 1,000 to 5,000 people. As long as I'm providing a vibe and they're enjoying themselves, and, you know, that's really all it takes for me to keep going. And as long as there's good music still getting put out there.
Okay.
You know, otherwise I got to go back to my old school craze.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Nah, I can't complain.
Nope. All right. Now, there are some DJs out there who lack the simple mixing skills to help better their craft. What advice would you give to them to help them be better DJs?
Practice.
Okay.
Don't leave your house. Practice. I used to go to school, come home at like 3:30 on the off season. I used to play football, so no practice on the off season. So I'm home. I'll put in like 3 hours on the turntables.
Oh, wow. Okay.
3 hours of just, you know, I mean, I did get the fundamentals from my boy DJ Niceness, who originally I started off with.
Okay.
But then when I got my own set, I would just come home straight, not even change, not even eat, drink, just jump on turntable, put the headphones on, speakers up, press play. And wow. Just go at it till I got my shit straight. Till I personally felt that I sounded right.
Mm-hmm.
I never took a gig.
Wow.
And even when I started sounding right, I still practiced. It might not have been 4 hours, maybe an hour, 2 hours. Right. But I did that consistently every day. You know?
Okay.
Now, I mean, I play too much that I don't even need to practice anymore. Like, that is my practice.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I honestly and strongly suggest that all upcoming DJs practice till you feel you sound right. Because you will know. You're your biggest critic. If you think you sound good sounding shit, then fuck. Godspeed.
We got problems. Yeah. We got big problems. Okay. All right. Excellent advice. Yeah. And we touched upon social media. I mean, it is the best, predominantly cheapest and freest means of extreme exposure, because you got millions and millions online. Yeah. Where can our listeners connect with you online?
I'm pretty much on everything, a DJ Ghostwriter. Like, I don't, I'm not too much on Twitter anymore. I think I stopped that shit like 10 years now.
Okay.
It just bored the shit out of me. Made right. No sense.
No.
Like, I don't think Twitter got anybody anywhere, especially DJs. I personally don't know if any DJs I got anywhere with Twitter.
Nope.
But yeah, Facebook has been huge.
Good.
Huge for me. You know, from posting flyers to posting my mix links to posting me DJing live somewhere. You know, so that's been big. Instagram's been big.
Okay.
Snap's been okay. Like, I don't really use it too much, but it's there. Then you got your Mixcloud. Mm-hmm. Like, I was doing IG Live DJing before IG Live DJing was a thing.
Wow. I believe
it. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, I mean, I didn't get the numbers like all these guys are getting. I still don't get the numbers all these guys are getting.
Yeah.
But
that's,
you know,
marketing. That's promoting.
Yeah. Anything is anything, man.
That's
shoot,
it.
I play for one person online. I feel no ways.
Right.
You know? At the end of the day, I'm just catching a vibe. Like, if you want to catch a vibe with me, then tune in.
That's it.
You know, if you want to be snobby and, you know, just skim through like all these DJs usually do, you know? Like, I support all DJs. Like, if the DJ goes live, like, fuck, I'm jumping on his live. Say what's up.
Right.
Stick around for like maybe, you know, 10, 15, 20 minutes. And then I'm out. You know,
yeah.
I'm probably busy. But if not, I'll probably just be cooking in the kitchen. I'll leave the shit on.
Yeah.
Well, you know, but actually, a lot of DJs that when I jump alive, they just skim through it. Like, it's like, oh, it's Ryder. Okay, bye. You know what I mean? But it's all good. I feel no way. You don't want to catch a vibe? Don't catch a vibe. It's all good with me. But yeah, social media is pretty much at DJ Ghost Ryder.
Okay.
I'm everywhere, man. Like CB24.
And SoundCloud.
SoundCloud too, DJ Ghost Ryder.
That's it. All right.
Everything is DJ Ghost Ryder. Keep it the same all the way through.
Perfect. Consistency is key.
It's key.
In social media. Absolutely.
Yep.
Now, despite with the whole COVID situation going on, I know you've been doing your live streams, which are super awesome. I mean, we've been enjoying that. Any other projects, anything upcoming you want our listeners to know about?
At the moment, there's a few things in the works.
Okay.
Can't really talk too much about it.
Okay.
But hopefully before the year ends, there'll be a few announcements.
Cool.
But yeah, I was told not to talk.
All right. Well, that's
but no,
okay.
We're still working. The team is working. Okay. You know, we're trying to make some big moves for before 2021. So hopefully the COVID thing disappears faster, so the moves can move faster.
Well, Sean, what's next for you?
I want to open up a restaurant.
Really? What kind of food?
Maybe a little bit of everything.
All right.
A little bit of everything. Not too deep of a little bit of everything, but, you know, like comfort food.
Okay.
Comfort food, like, you know, comfort food for all nationalities.
Yeah.
Is basically what I want. Because I like, okay. I like eating, man. I love food. I love to cook.
Nice.
You know, right. And for the last 5-6 years, I've been trying to get this restaurant thing popping.
Okay.
And it's just, I mean, I know it's probably just not timing. Thank God it's not timing because right now
it's been, yeah, this is not the time either.
Yeah. So, yeah, hopefully a restaurant in the near future.
Okay.
And yeah,
are
it will be called Cachet.
Cachet?
It will be called Cachet. The name's already picked.
Because you got the name on lock. What about location-wise?
East? Definitely want to keep it central.
Okay, so downtown.
So that everybody can get to it.
Perfect. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, fingers crossed. I mean, that venture is another thing that can only happen if all this madness eventually goes away. I mean, these guys are already struggling as it is existing businesses out there. So,
yeah.
Something to think about. All right. And lastly, Sean, you know, you got a ton of fans out there. You've been in the industry forever. And what message do you have for your fans out there?
Be safe.
Okay.
During these times. Don't go crazy with it. Don't get lit every weekend. Mind your kids because y'all, your asses are old.
Ain't
if you don't
that
have kids,
truth.
If you don't have your kids yet, go make some.
Wow.
Because you got plenty of time in your hands right now.
Clearly, yeah.
Nah, but just stay connected, man. Like, if you see me online, say what's up. If I see you online, I'll definitely say what's up.
Absolutely.
You know? That's really it. That's all we could really ask for, man. I don't expect, like, I'm getting up in age. I don't expect to do this for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
You know, I got other plans. But, I mean, I love music. That's why I'm here. I don't really fuss about the pay anymore, you know, because, I mean, I do my own events. So I'm caking regardless.
Right.
You know, I don't really wait for a promoter to call me and book, which not a lot of promoters in Toronto do that anyways. I usually get booked from a promoter only in the States.
Oh, you know what I mean? Okay.
Yeah. In Toronto, it's like they blocked me.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. They just, I don't know. I just feel like either I'm doing way too much events on my own with my team and they feel like, okay, well, Ryder doesn't need our help. He doesn't need our booking. You know, I think it's either that or they just blocked me. I don't know, but it's been like that for like 10 plus years. So.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, like I said, at the end of the day, If you're a fan out there, say what's up. That's all we can really ask for right now.
Exactly. And stay safe.
Stay safe.
Better days are coming.
Hopefully.
We can pray. We can be hopeful. Awesome. Well, guys, that's it for today's show. Sean, thank you for being such an awesome guest.
Thank
Honestly,
you for having me.
That was a trip down memory lane because now you brought up things I haven't even thought about for like 15, 20 years now. Legit. Because, I mean, when were these things happening? Abyss and 108 and all the fun times. What?
That's like right before 2000.
I completely even forgot that All Ages even existed. And that was my thing as a child. All Ages.
Oh, man. All Ages was like, was the shit.
It really was. But how do you explain that to someone that you were underage but having the time of your life partying when there was like no alcohol and all that stuff involved?
Yeah, they don't have that right now.
They don't even have all ages anymore.
No, I mean, I think if they ever did an all ages right now, it would be a huge massacre.
I would think so. It'd be I think it'd be a shit show, actually.
Like, yeah, we would have the biggest crime rate in Toronto overnight.
Yeah.
I would say 200 people, 300 people dead in one club.
But we
just
never
the way these kids, just the way these kids move nowadays.
Yeah. But you know what? We did not have these problems growing up.
No.
Nobody got shot. Nobody got stabbed. We all went home safely. Yeah. Sometimes fights happened, yes, but it wasn't to this madness that's going on every day.
I think I've only had one incident in my entire career where there was a stabbing at an all ages party I was DJing.
I did that was see a couple. Yeah, I was there that night. And the irony of that story was actually one of my boys who fought. Yeah, it was Afghan situation. So, yeah, that was many, many years ago. I remember, but those kind of things did happen here and there, but it wasn't like people are dying.
Yeah.
The way that things are happening these days. So,
Wow,
I totally forgot that incident too, man. Yeah. Talking to you is like literally a way back freaking playback.
Yeah.
Again, can't wait to see you back at Calypso Hut. Spinning your tracks, fingers crossed, you know, Vegas for you this year for your birthday.
Yeah.
And I like to thank everyone for tuning in this week's show, guys. Thank you so much. And make sure you'll be tuning in next week. We have another amazing guest on the show, DJ Mixmaster Mark Singh, everyone. Big up. Big up, John. Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. Take care.
Have a wonderful day. Take care.
Tonight was so crazy. If you weren't here, you crazy. Look down, look down, look down, look down.
Now I like dollars, I like diamonds, I like stunning, I like shining, I like million dollar bills, where's my pen, bitch I'm signing, I like those Balenciagas, the ones that look like socks, I like going to the Tula, I put rocks all in my watch, I like texts from my exes when they want a second chance, I like proving niggas wrong, I do what they say I can, they call me Cardi, Cardi, banging body, spicy mommy, hot tamale, hotter than a shot, Molly, Burko, Ferrari, hop up the stoop, jump in the coupe. On top of the roof, busting on bitches as hard as I can. Eating halal, driving a Lamb. Saw that bitch, I'm sorry though. Got my coins like Mario. Yeah, they call me Cardi B. I run this shit like cardio. Woo!